Hey, this is Alec.
Hey, this is Samir.
And this is Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. Welcome to episode 71. Let's get it.
EDM champions, what's going on? Welcome back to Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM music culture, where we talk about what we love. Electronic music, the news, the culture, artists on the rise, and so much more. And guys, it's my turn for the on repeat this week. And I'm feeling inspired by Alec Prieto, the DMB connoisseur of the Beyond the Beats podcast. And I am stoked on some freaking drum and bass, especially like very high energy drum and bass that sometimes have really awesome lyrics that you just want to sing along to and to jam out to. So you know what, it's my turn. Here we go, guys. Coming up in the background, you can hear this song creeping in. We got Metric and Graphics, and they teamed up for this amazing DMB song called Parallel. Take a listen.
I am so happy that you're on the drum and bass train right now. This is so cool to see. And this is exactly the type of DNB that I think is really going to make it big over in the US. How did you come across this?
Dude, first off, I just want to give a massive shout out to an EDM champion in San Diego. What up to Todd? Because he sent this, this mix over to me. And it was Metric's UKF on air set, and I love DMB, all right? And when I threw this on, I was like, oh my god, non-stop energy, fantastic track selection. And I never heard of Metric before. I never have. Alec, I think you mentioned that you have. Yeah. And ever since I heard that set, I just dove really deep into his debut album that came out in June of this year. And this song, Parallel, is one of my absolute favorites from that album. I was considering playing the song Closer, which is also off of that album. Mm-hmm. But I think that for the purposes of our audience, because our audience is primarily US-based, I feel like they can really, really get into this song, Parallel, with Metric and Graphics. And that's why I had to pick this one. It is such a jam for anybody to appreciate.
I think you're spot on there, man. I think that track is probably more suited for the North American audience. It's just, you see that type of DNB really starting to come over here. We talked about it last EDC with Culture Shock, back to back dimension there. Woo. So thank you so much for putting that on. That put me
Alec, great for fucking
mood,
inspiring me, man. I love you, dog. This
of
is what course, I love
dude. Of course. But we've got so much other music to talk about this week, which is going to give us some inspiration as well. We've got the likes of Kirby teaming up with AC Slater for a slapper. We've got Mala back, Groove Armada, Sudden Death, and more. Diving into the news and culture section, we're going to be talking about another question from an EDM champion. What's up, Mia? Won't spoil the question, but it's a very, very good one. Then we've got two other topics to dive into. One, Wuhan, China. We've been talking about it a lot on this podcast. In fact, the whole world has been talking about Wuhan, China for a long time. But once again, they're the epicenter of another controversy. They hosted a pool party. Last topic there, we've got Apple Music teaming up with Boiler Room. All those really intimate sets are now coming to Apple Music subscribers. Lucky bastards. I'm not one of them. Then we've got the What Are We Listening To section, where we're going to dive into Porter Robinson, but wait, a Rez revision. That's going to be really interesting to talk about. Samir, I know you've got some thoughts on that. I do too, certainly. Then we've got Phase One, some dubstep coming in. He's got a new EP called Deadline, which we'll talk about. But last and not leastly, we've got the epitome of the Beyond the Beats podcast, and that is the artist we're watching section. Won't ruin it for you now, but we've got two fantastic but very different artists this week that we need to put on all of your radars. Moving back up to the top, we've got the new music section. Samir, let's kick it off with Kirby and AC Slater. Get some house in. Everyone, let's get your house go. Shoes on. This is their track called Navigator. Take a listen.
Navigate this house stomper right into my soul, my friend. This track, I mean, it is exactly what you would expect from Kirby and AC Slater. The name of the track is Navigator. This just has the absolute energy that will tear up any dance floor. This is going to get everybody shuffling, everybody moving. Alec, what did you think?
Dark and gritty is how I would describe this track. It's yet another sign that Kirby is exploring his darker side of house music. He's known really more for his lighter, more airy feel to it, but you can certainly see him exploring the darker side now. So I really like the new direction that he's headed in, and I hope that this gives him some nice contrast in his sets. And you can certainly hear how AC Slater has really helped him define that darker, grittier bass house, incorporating that into his own original sound. So very much about this track. I was pretty impressed.
Nice, man. I'm pumped up to hear that. Dude. I don't know what's going on with DJ Snake. I don't know what's going on with the part of my French crew, but it feels like they're having some serious, serious trust issues. They should contact Drake to talk about this, all right? But guys, peep this, all right? Mala just did a remix of DJ Snake's hit song from this year, Trust Nobody.
Yes, yes, and yes, my friends, champions. I think everyone can really agree that this was a very, very solid remix. You can hear Mala's influence heavily in here. It's got that G house, bass house, darker type of vibe. And I think this is really the best you could do with a track like Trust Nobody, which is very, very different than a house track. But I think Mala kept really the energy that was in the original, kept it at its core, but just put some house beats to it. What do you think, Samir?
Dude, absolutely agreed. I mean, this just felt like some of the older style of Mala that we got from like 2015 to 2016.
Very
catchy vocal hook, and that bass line is so smooth, so sexy, but it makes you want to move and it makes you want to dance. And that's what you need. All right. That's what you need.
You really do. That's all you need in life. You just need to move. I think that's the key to life.
Dude, I just want to shake this little booty of mine. All right, I'm trying to get back to the
there
dance floor.
There we go again. Yeah.
Look, it's been a long time since we talked about some booty shaking music. All right, and we got a lot of booty shaking music to talk about on this episode. Alec, speaking of booty shaking, what's the next song?
I wouldn't say this is a booty shaking one. I think this is a hip swinger. This is one where you move your hips to your 1-2 step. All right. Everybody knows that dance, especially the OGs. So shout out to all the OG ravers out there, because you're going to love this one. Groove Armada. That's right. Haven't heard that name in a while, but they're back. Okay. With a new track called Lover For Now featuring Todd Edwards. And this is going to be from their new upcoming album. Take a listen. Lover just for now.
What a crunchy groove, my friend. Like, this is
Crunchy groove. Explain that to me. What is crunchy that? Metaphor?
Dude, just something you bite into it. It's got a nice crunch to it. It just makes you happy.
You're thinking about Taco Bell, aren't you?
I actually just had some Taco Bell before we started recording this podcast. All right. So you called me out. I was like, can you smell my breath from out there? But dude, I'm very, very excited for this new group Armada, new album to come out, I should say. This is their first album in 10 years. And this album is going to be called Edge of the Horizon. And here's the thing about Groove Armada, guys, and I feel like maybe a lot of the newer ravers, the newer EDM champions may not know too much about them, but as their name dictates, they focus on the groove, all right? And they will travel across any genre out there. Breakbeat, trip hop, house music, these guys do it all. I actually saw them in Creamfields 2018, and they murdered it. Absolutely killer set. They were. I just stumbled into the tent. I was by myself. I stumbled into the tent. And I didn't leave. It was such a great set. So I'm very pumped up. And this song is just what you'd expect from Groove Armada. Refined grooviness. And Todd Edwards sounded amazing on this track, Lover For Now. Alec, what did you think?
I'm right there with you, man. It's as if the OGs have seen all these new artists trying to make these groovy beats, right? Because that's a new thing that's very in right now, going more disco-y, going more groovy. And they said, hold on, step aside, young bloods. This is how you do it. I'm very, very excited for the album,
hell man. Yeah.
I think you wrapped up everything there perfectly. Like, this is just, if you want to get your groove on, this is what you do. But speaking of groove, or rather the opposite of groove, okay? We have Sudden Death. Yeah, I mean, he's probably the, like, very most uttermost opposite of groove can get. He teamed up with Slander for a song called Blood On Me. Take a listen and brace yourselves, this is a hard one.
Alec, EDM champions, can I give you guys my honest thoughts on this one?
Let's hear it.
This song is a fucking mess. I'm sorry, but I don't get it. I honestly don't understand. And I never like to be like this negative on a track, but there's really nothing, in my opinion, that is great about this song. And just also another thumbs down, because I could not find who the vocalist was for this song, Blood On Me, like in the Spotify credits. So I'm assuming that maybe that information was included when this song was launched on Spotify. And that's not chill, because she was actually the best part of this song. Her vocals sounded amazing, but Sudden Death and Slander, dude, I don't know what is going on with this one, but there is nothing cohesive about this project at all. And honestly, if you look at the cover art, it feels like a ripoff of Excision and Illenium. Like that good versus evil sort of look to it.
I never even thought about that.
It was the first thing I thought about when I saw it. So, dude, I wish I had better things to say about this song. The vocalist sounded amazing. She crushed it. Overall, though, I'm never listening to this song again. Alec, what did you think?
What is going on in this track? I'm really not sure. I guess I can kind of see what they were trying to do. It's so funny that you brought up the Illenium Excision thing, because I think that's exactly what they were going for, right? That contrast between the light with the dark and the aggressive. It just didn't work though in my book. I'm sorry. It just feels, or really rather sounds, disjointed and disconnected from the vocals. As you said before, really should have had more focus on the vocals. They should have kept it lighter. I was expecting more of a melodic type of drop. I was like, oh, interesting. Sudden Death could be going into a melodic bass drop there. They probably should have, but no, just try. I don't know. It just feels like they just mashed together two separate songs and two different vibes. Like it didn't work in my book. Like, I understand that you got to have contrast and sometimes that's a good thing, but you still have to have some type of flow.
Absolutely. There was no flow in this one. And you know what, EDM champions, I'm so sorry for being negative, but if you think otherwise, just come at us, because we want to hear it. Let us know what you liked about this song. That's all I got to say about that.
Specifically say, Samir, be nice to me.
Yeah, be nice to Alec. I'm the hater on this one.
I'm
Alec,
sensitive. I'm very sensitive.
He is. What are we talking about next?
We've got the new music from artists we're watching section, and we're going to kick
it
off.
Let's go. Give me some fucking energy. Oh, I'm ready to go, Alec. Come on.
I'm glad that you're so pumped up on this one. Let's hope that you are too, EDM champions. Take a listen to Smack, who teamed up with Luciana for TikTok. TikTok to the beat we drop. Electro shock. TikTok to the beat we drop.
That is right on time, is right on time. That first beat is right on time, is right on time. That first beat is right on time, is right on time. That first beat is right on time, is right on time. That first beat is right on time.
I was expecting a cover of Kesha's song TikTok from my, I want to say, late middle school or early high school days. I'm not entirely sure when that song came out, but I was pleasantly surprised that that was not what I got. And I gotta say, man, this song being released on Hell Deep Records, which is Aubrey Helden's label, first of all, massive shout out to Smack on that one. They are absolutely killing it. They got releases on freaking Laidback Luke's label and now Aubrey Helden's label. You can't stop these guys. Oh, and Spinning Records. They got a release on Spinning Records as well. So this just fits perfectly on the Hell Deep imprint. Okay, it's funky, it's groovy, it's housey. It makes you want to move. And Luciana sounded absolutely amazing on this one.
I couldn't agree with you more, man. This is just, it's funky, groovy, creative. It's, you know, I'm not usually about songs like this one, but I'm about it, man. I'm about everything that they're doing here. You can hear Smack coming in with a little bit more of their bass house influence in there, but just the grooves on it, man. It's just really, it is a good vibey song. So I'm going to certify this one a vibe track. Certified vibe.
We were just on the lighter side of the 4-to-4 spectrum, and now we're going to the darker side. Where are we going, Alec? What song are we playing from Charles D?
Oh man, I don't even know where to begin. I was so impressed with this one. I mean, this is a 2-track EP, one called Feel and one called B-Side. Let's go ahead and give B-Side a spin. Take a listen.
There's any newcomer or underground riser in techno that is just absolutely killing it, it is without a doubt Charles D. This guy has been championed by people like Adam Baer and Eric Prydz, and he actually has a release coming up on Prida Records. So absolutely massive. This guy's killing it. Absolutely killing it, dude. But this release, it just shows you that techno can just be super encapsulating and super interesting. A lot of people think it's very repetitive, but Charles D is here to set a fucking vibe, bring the energy, and to let all techno listeners know that it can also be super, super interesting with elements swirling in and out. And both of these tracks, Feel and B-Side, like we just played, are examples of just that. Alec, your thoughts, please.
Charles D, my man, take a fucking bow. Unbelievable stuff. This EP had me missing techno shows so hardcore you wouldn't believe, man. I even, after listening to it, went through my Spotify and started putting together a techno and tech playlist.
Hell yeah,
really pushing
dude.
Myself to go through some of the, you know, the techno sounds that's out there, and just, it inspired me, man. Absolutely inspired me. So Charles D, my friend, please take a bow. Video it for us. Put it up on the Instagram story. You deserve it. Just what a wonderful, wonderful EP. And you hit the nail on the head, man. Just the way that he incorporates the different elements makes it very interesting. And just those vocal samples in both B-Side and Feel are just absolutely wonderful. Top marks for him.
Killing it. Absolutely killing it.
It always makes me smile to see when the artists that we feature on this podcast are really starting to make it big. I mean, look at Smack, look at Charles D, and look at Safaro. Just going strength to strength. So champions, please, please support them, especially now. They really, really need it. You can find all the links to their socials, to their SoundCloud, everything you could possibly want on our website. It's www.beyondthebeats.co/episode71. And while you're there, why not go and look around? There's lots of stuff to engage with. We've got playlists on Spotify, right? Links to those. That's going to have all the music that we talk about week in, week out. On SoundCloud, we've got all of the artists we're watching. There was some confusion on there when we were on our Instagram where some of the artists that we're watching, it's not on the Spotify playlist. That's purely because a lot of the time, some of those tracks just aren't on Spotify. So that's why we have it on SoundCloud. So definitely check that out. Then you can follow us on the socials, okay? Instagram is at btb.pod and at Twitter, we're at podbtb. Samir, my friend. Okay.
Alec.
You just took a picture.
Yes. Very nice. I want to document like us doing this podcast. You know what I mean? Because
that's good.
It's not just about like putting something out to the EDM champion community. It's also a representation of our friendship. You know what I mean? Like I just get pumped up on the fact that like you and I, even though you are now on the opposite side of the country, about what, almost 3,000 miles away from me here in New York, like I just fucking love that I get to chop it up with you on something that we both are passionate about. Like that just gets me pumped up, man.
That's nice to hear, man. It's awesome talking to you too. And it's definitely an interesting experience having a bi-coastal podcast, right?
Yeah.
Like it's just something that's odd, but on for the picture, just don't post that to the socials because I look like a fucking caveman right now. I mean, with my long, thinning hair, which is just terrible.
Dude, like, your hair looks amazing. Stop it. Don't talk badly about yourself. This goes
terrible
for all the EDM champions out there. Let me just quickly take a step in over here, okay? Guys, like, I feel like a lot of people during the COVID-19 time, we're still in it. They just feel like they don't look as good as they used to look, whether their gyms might be closed, their barbers might be closed, you know, the people like their nail salons might be closed or what have you. They're not getting dressed up like they used to do. You look fucking great. Okay. Take a moment to look at yourself in the mirror and just tell yourself, I look really nice today. And that sort of positivity is going to really carry through your day and make you feel really good. All right. And if you ever feel like you don't feel good about yourself, something that I did recently was I just got dressed up. I put on a nice shirt that I haven't worn in months, put on a nice pair of pants, put on a nice pair of shoes, and my girlfriend and I went for a walk. We got dressed up and we felt good. We looked good and we just had a good time with it. So just something to consider.
That's not bad advice. Not bad at all. Anyhow, moving forwards with the podcast, okay, we're diving into the news and culture section. As I said before at the top, Mia from Chicago, thank you so much for your question. This is a really good one. This is a really good one, man. I'm actually excited to talk about this one. Not that I'm not excited about the other ones. I'm always excited to talk about things.
Yeah.
But this one in particular, because it's very relevant to today. Her question is this. Why are live streams such a big deal? You guys talk about them all the time on the show, which we do, but there are nothing like a real rave. Do you want to take a stab at this? What
sure.
Do you think?
Yeah, I can start this one off. Mia, first of all, fantastic question. Nothing will ever, ever replace the feeling of being on the dance floor with your friends or even by yourself, like we talked about on last week's episode of the podcast. But nothing will ever replace that feeling of feeling the thumping bass, dancing, being in your own world with people who are also on that same sort of wavelength, that same sort of energy with you. But these are crazy times that we're living in right now. And every single industry has had to adapt. And the music industry especially has been hit so, so hard by the COVID-19 pandemic. But one thing that is so amazing about these live streams, and I feel like we don't really see this in a lot of other genres, is the fact that the EDM scene has been quick to migrate to doing these live streams to just put music out to the world for free without even having to pay for a ticket in 99% of the cases. And not only are they putting out these sets for free for people to enjoy at home to keep spirits up, but they are treating this like it's a festival. And what I mean by that is festival season in the US, especially during the summer, that is a time to really be teasing unreleased tracks and to be releasing unreleased music during the festival season, especially in Ultra. One thing that Ultra is so well world renowned for is the fact that a lot of artists, first of all, it's the kickoff of festival season, and then a lot of artists also premiere a bunch of unreleased music in their sets. But we don't have that this year, right? And so DJs and producers have quickly migrated from taking those in-person experiences, putting together killer sets, and then also at the same time doing it for free and also still playing out unreleased tracks. And that's the beauty of these live streams, is the fact that we still get a chance to hear what could have been experienced in person for 2020, but instead, it has adapted quickly, and now we're enjoying it at home, and we're still getting an almost equal representation from a music standpoint. And just beyond that too, these live streams have given huge, huge opportunities to underground artists. And underground artists is something that we are just so passionate about here on Beyond the Beats. Mm-hmm. And underground artists have been able to connect with promoters really, really easily to just join Twitch streams and to be a part of these virtual festivals and to really be able to present their sound and get their music out. But otherwise, during a regular festival season, they may not be able to even have that opportunity to broadcast their stuff to a larger audience. So that's why live streams are such a big deal for me, at least. Alec, what do you think about that?
I love that. I think you, wow, I mean, you really just kind of described everything there. I think that's such a great answer to that question. You should write an essay on it. It's really,
I'm feeling passionate about this, man. I'm in a good mood.
Yeah, you are, man. And I think you're absolutely right. It's a big deal just because of the fact that it does support the underground community, but it just keeps things going. So I know it can be hard to watch a live stream sometimes because it might remind you of how much you miss a club night and things like that. And I totally get that. I feel that sometimes myself too.
Absolutely. But
I still think it's important to show your support by tuning in, by commenting, you know, just engaging with them, right? Just showing that you're out there, because a lot of the time artists are putting on live streams just to really, this is the only way of driving awareness for their brand, for their music. And it's on us to really help support them by watching these live streams, by doing these things. And eventually we're going to have fixes and things that will come along that will make virtual experiences more enjoyable for everyone. I think people are starting to get a little bit tired of the rather now generic form of live streams, right? I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of, I feel like it's gone where it could go. You know what I mean? Like I think
yeah.
People like, you know, Tomorrowland did a fantastic job just with recording and overlaying the background and the stages. But that, I mean, that was awesome, which was great. But I think people are starting now to get a little bit, you know, it's almost like Zoom fatigue, right? There's almost like live stream fatigue going on.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, yes, you might be getting a bit fatigued from it, but there is substantial benefit to it. And I don't know, but if I put one on every once in a while, it puts me in a good mood. It really does. It just feels, it's not the same as going out, no, but it just makes me feel more engaged with the community and with what's going on in the scene. So that's why I'd recommend to keep on watching it.
Love that, dude. Love that. You know, at the end of the day, we all have our own personal reasons for why we tune into live streams. There are a lot of benefits for tuning into these. You get a chance to listen to some new, dope, unreleased music, support underground artists. But, you know, you don't have to. You don't have to if you don't want to. But the fact that the EDM scene has been so quick to adapt to the COVID-19 pandemic and just start doing, like, I feel like they just started doing these live streams like the week of, like, everything just like stopped.
It was like the week of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were just like, all right, let's go, everybody. Let's go to fucking Twitch. That's where we're doing this shit now. You know what I mean? And they quickly adapted, and it's inspiring. It's inspiring, in my opinion.
I think people should be taking more advantage of this. Like, think about this opportunistically. Like, you're going to be able to see artists, right, in the sheer volume that you can afford it by online and digital space that you would never be able to see live in person. Like you can watch, I mean, artists from across the globe that would never be on the same lineup at an in-person event, but you can watch them in back-to-back videos if you wanted to. So take advantage of it. I mean, there's a bunch of like free sets going on here. Like, it's incredible. Like, you would never get that. So take it. Yeah, I'm going to end this on a bright note. I think everyone should be like, okay, I'm being opportunistic about it. Go find a new artist that you've never really had listened to before. Go find different genres. Try it out. See it. And here's another good one. Here's another good test, actually. For your favorite artist, for an artist that you really enjoy, okay? See what listening to or watching a live stream is like and compare that to your prior experiences. It's a very interesting thing to weigh out. I mean, you can't say that the live stream performance is necessarily going to be, you know, the same quality as an in-person live event, but it really does start to show their DJ skills and things. So it's very interesting to go watch or listen to a live stream just because it's really putting their DJ, more of their technical DJing ability on for display.
Mia, seriously though, fantastic, fantastic question. Thank you for sending that one in. That was a really good one. And we've been getting some really great questions, guys, but please don't forget to go ahead, tweet at us at podbtb. You can also find us on Instagram. Feel free to DM us at btb.pod. You can send us an email if you want, connect@beyondthebeats.co. We would love to take your questions and we'd be happy to answer them on air and give you a little shout out. You know what I mean? Like this is a community and we want to make sure that everybody feels engaged. So thank you guys for sending in your questions and please continue to do so.
Dude, sorry to do this, but we're going down a little bit of a darker path here. Okay. So
all right.
Wuhan, China is the epicenter of a coronavirus pool party, or at least that's how I'm going to describe it. Because no, I shouldn't describe it. That's unfair to say, because technically there haven't been any signs that there are continued cases. So I'm not going to go ahead and say it's a COVID pool party. However, there was just no restrictions at this pool party. This is where I wish we had a video podcast, because I wish I could show the photos of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's just people packed into the pool, into the back. I mean, it looks like a Las Vegas pool party. To me, this just feels a little bit dangerous. I know China was a good 2 months ahead of the US and other parts of Europe in terms of seeing the COVID-19 outbreak. And Wuhan, as everyone knows, was the epicenter and the start of where coronavirus came from. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think it's okay that they did this? Do you think it's not? You know, where does some of the blame lie? Like, give us your thoughts.
I don't know if I'm necessarily as negative as like what I'm feeling off of you right now on this on this pool party, okay. My friend. Yeah, you know, I think when we hear the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic, and then we hear that they're having a pool party with 15,000 people, I think that like kind of rattles us a little bit, because we've just been in this lockdown for so long that I think maybe we just kind of forgot what it's like to party and to enjoy ourselves with other people and to listen to some live music. And I don't, there's a lot of people who feel like, you know, China maybe is not reporting like their numbers truthfully, but it seems like, according to this article from the BBC, it seems like they really got this thing under control in Wuhan, and they really put down some strict measurements to make sure that the virus is pretty much eradicated within their city. I mean, it's a city of 11 million people that they pretty much just completely cut off from the rest of China. And not only that, but they deployed millions and millions of tests for their people to see what the cases were like. And with that information, they felt that the coronavirus had pretty much been eradicated from their city, and they threw a party. And I feel like a lot of people are kind of shocked to see this. But I think a lot of people are just kind of also forgetting what real life was like before the coronavirus pandemic.
I see what you're saying here, man, but it still is, I think, too early to throw a 15,000 fucking person pool party because you don't have locally transmitted cases. I think that's a bit rich and a bit soon, because at the end of the day, no one is saying in China that it was eradicated.
Sure. Right?
And it's just putting that... it's more the volume of people in such close vicinity to each other. No masks, no nothing, just all there, you know, drinking and doing that all together. Because here's the problem, and actually the BBC article does a very nice point of doing this, and this is a quote from the article itself.
Yeah.
This is from an associate professor of infectious diseases at the Australian National University, said this: "The problem is we haven't eradicated COVID-19, and what that means is that as long as it's not eradicated, there's still the risk of having it introduced, whether from overseas or elsewhere." He points to the example of New Zealand, which had no locally transmitted cases for more than 3 months before a new spike in cases were reported earlier last week. So this is really my point, is that you're putting a bunch of people close together. I haven't done any investigation in terms of what the pre-party prep was, right? I mean, were they testing people? Was there contact tracing involved? I'm not sure. But to me, it's just still too early, even if you're showing no locally transmitted cases, to have such a large event and gathering like this. I'm not a science expert. I'm not in this field. But just for me personally, I wouldn't feel comfortable at such a large event. And just, it's just, you know, it's a rave. You're in the pool. There's so much risk of transmission. You know, all it takes is one person. That's all it takes, whether local, foreign, wherever. So I just think having just such large gatherings in general is not going to be a good idea for a while. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't know if that changes your opinion, but
I do see where you're coming from on this one, and I totally understand where the concern is coming from, you know. But this article, also from the BBC, was kind enough to point out that they haven't had a local case within Wuhan since May.
Well, New Zealand was in the same position. And they started having festivals and all that, and now they've had a spike in COVID cases. It was the same thing. It's been more, in fact, it was more than 3 months. New Zealand didn't have a case. So this is my point, is that, you know, look, I mean, it's never going to be a perfect time to reopen things. Mm. However, you can take steps to just minimize the risk. And having a 15,000 person party event is not exactly the prime way. And as you said, I didn't even realize this, but I must have missed that in the article, but the fact that they're allowing people from other parts of China too just makes it even like, you know, China's a really, really big place and they're still fighting the pandemic in other parts of the country. So I do think this is just a irresponsible thing to have going. I understand that life is more back to normal, but that doesn't mean that you need to throw a mini EDC at a pool with no precautions and things. Like that's really more my point. It's like, just wait a little bit, you know, like you can have clubs and things like that, like capacity below, like do what Switzerland and other places are doing, where you have, you know, you slowly grow the capacity that nightclubs and things can have, like restricted nightclubs or open air clubs if you want to prevent indoor transmissions. Like you can, there are ways to ramp this up rather than just having a massive pool party.
Okay, I'll secede to you on this one, Alec. All right,
you, I think you mean concede, but that's okay.
Oh my God.
Secede right. from the union, my friend.
My vocabulary is all sorts of fucked up today. I don't know what's going on.
It's been a long day.
We're recording the podcast on Friday too after a work week, which we never normally do. But yeah, fine. I will concede to you on this one, Alec, that yes, okay, I am starting to see the point of why people are feeling so outraged when they read these reports. So I do understand that. You know, at first I thought it was just kind of like, just, I don't know, people just forgetting what fun was like, you know what I mean? Or like just maybe not remembering life pre-COVID, you know, but okay, I understand the concern.
Well, I think here's the important thing, and this is where I would agree with you more. And I think something that you didn't mention, but was implicit in your argument, was that people are upset because it's Wuhan particularly.
Yeah.
I think that would be an incorrect belief, really, to have. It's not the fact that it's Wuhan necessarily. I think that's a very nice, you know, attention-grabbing thing. But I just think in general, if it was anywhere in China or anywhere in the world, I would still have the same exact feeling that you should not have a 15,000-person pool party right now. I don't care where you are or if it was, you know, the virus originated there versus not. You just should not have it there. Like, I mean, it's just, that's really more the point. And I think that's where people might be getting a little hung up, and I think maybe a bit hypocritical, is over the whole, it's Wuhan, it's the Wuhan coronavirus, quote unquote. That's why, if you're upset for that reason, I think that's the wrong reason to be upset. I would be more upset at just the fact that they had this.
Alec, where are we going next, my friend?
We're going to talk about how Apple Music, all right, everyone? Apple Music has decided to team up with Boiler Room to bring all of the recordings of those very intimate sets. If you've never seen a Boiler Room set, they're very intimate. Like, how would you describe it, Smith, for champions I've not seen it?
That is such a great question. Like, you know what? Forget your favorite venue. Forget your favorite festival. Everybody just pile into some dude's basement and like a strobe light here or there, maybe a screen projecting like Boiler Room with the visual behind the DJ. And the DJ is not up on a stage. They're literally just in the center of the room.
It's like a booth. It's like a booth or something. Yeah.
Maybe. It's more like a foldable table with like some CDJs on it. And it's like,
all right, I don't know about that. It's a little nicer than that.
No, it's like, it's sounding like, I know I'm making it sound like shit, but it's actually not, because like, you know, the crowd is like not very rowdy. Everybody's kind of around the DJ, dancing around the DJ. That's right. And it's like, it's actually a really nice vibe. Like, nobody, I don't want to say nobody, but when you watch these videos, people aren't like going absolutely apeshit. They're not going absolutely crazy. Like, they're grooving out and they're having a good time. And most of the time, the people who are invited are usually like people who know somebody within that city's music industry scene.
Yeah, it's a very, I've always wanted to go to one. It's a very intimate party vibe, like a very intimate atmosphere. You're right close there with the DJ. And you'll see a lot of times that DJs actually, when they do a Boiler Room set, they will try out different things and new things. So might be playing a different genre, or they'll really start tapping into some music they've just started creating. So it's a very creative, very intimate atmosphere. And I think it's wonderful that Apple Music is bringing it. But you put this question into the show notes here, Samir. So I'll pose this to you first and then we can dive into it. But do you think electronic music is becoming the next big battleground for music streaming services?
It's a tough question. My natural inclination is to say yes, just based off of the streaming stats that we talked about for 2019, the predictions that we talked about for 2021 from the IMS Ibiza report, the track ID plays that we talked about last week for Spotify, and now this Boiler Room teaming up with Apple Music. I mean, that is a massive, massive partnership. And I think that a lot of music industry professionals, not necessarily having to be in EDM, but the people who curate things like this for Apple Music or who curate things like this for Spotify, I think they see just how absolutely gung-ho and engaged this EDM scene is, the EDM community is with the music, and they just see fucking dollar signs everywhere popping up for things that they could do. How can they attract more listeners to their base? And this, I personally think that this offering from Apple Music teaming up with Boiler Room is actually better than the offering of Spotify teaming up with artists doing those track ID plays like we talked about on last week's episode. This is huge because the Boiler Room archives are very, very, deep. They're very in depth. There hasn't always been the most reliable place to go and get these sets. You know, they're kind of thrown around SoundCloud on YouTube. But now to have 200 sets like this from Boiler Room, from the archives in one place, not only that, but also having each individual track from the set itself kind of listed separately within Apple Music, so it's easy to identify who the original song is by, and to have that easily cataloged like that, that's huge. This is a really big move.
It's a huge move, man. I mean, I think that is exactly the only, actually it's the only way to describe it. It's just a massive move. And my answer to this question is going to be abso-fucking-lutely, is this the next big battleground, right? Okay. I mean, the signs have been absolutely everywhere, man. Just as you said, we've covered it in the IMS Ibiza report, not for 1 year, but for 2 years, okay? There's two reports. We just talked about one this year, and we talked about it last year, but all of the signs were pointing to it. It was just an explosion in the scene on streaming platforms, Spotify, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, everything. Really, EDM was starting to take over, and that was one of the highest growth in terms of genres that you saw on these streaming platforms. So, what you said about the track ID playlist on Spotify, I think you're spot on there. I think this one particular, like let's say it's like a chessboard, right? Like this one chess move, yeah, by absolutely. Apple Music might be more of the queen coming down, like it's a much bigger move, right?
Right, right.
Much more positioning there. Well, actually, let's say it's a very strategically placed knight. How about that? It's a very strategically placed knight, okay? Spotify, on the other hand, has decided to move its pawn forward instead. It's playing a little bit of a shorter step, right? But it's just slightly progressing through the board, but Apple Music is coming out swinging from the get-go with the knight.
What the fuck are you talking about right now, dude?
Have you ever played chess? No one's played chess.
I love chess. I absolutely love chess. I'm messing around.
Oh, man. I was really going down a rabbit hole with that analogy.
You got it.
But let's break it down in a non-chess analogy way, okay? So think about it this way. Electronic music is digitally native by nature. So from the get-go, inherently, EDM was really poised to take control. Well, not, I shouldn't say take control, but be a large portion of streaming consumption on these platforms. It's just because it's digitally produced, it's just already designed and made for it. You can make such high fidelity sounds and just be so experimental and just very quick transfer and access of music. It's just, that alone makes it a match made in heaven. It's also experiential, right? This is where a lot of the streaming platforms now want to move more into. It's no longer about just, back in the days of Walkman where you download a song onto it and you just plug it in and you listen to it. It's now incorporating visuals. It's now incorporating experiences, people delving into AR, into VR. So you have all these experiential aspects that these platforms now want to move towards and put into their music. This is why EDM is perfect, because it is built that way now. The modern day EDM form is to have something that's crazy sounding, right, as an audio stimulus, but then also have a visual stimulus as well. So that's why these streaming platforms, I think, are so big on EDM, is because everyone is used to, the consumers have been trained to have visual counterparts to the music. So it gives them a lot more room for creativity when they're trying to incorporate video and other things onto the platforms as well. And the last thing is that all of these songs, everything electronic music, is essentially designed to be mixed together. When I say mixed, I mean from a DJ's perspective, mixing from one track to the next. This is just a gold mine for the streaming platforms, because I feel like playlists have never truly been used to their full potential ever. But this is now the time to start using playlists to the full potential. And I think they're just realizing the power of playlists, whether it's social wise in terms of sharing between friends, having artists engage with a community. It just adds another layer to the music and to the streaming platform that just never really has been seen before. And I think electronic music in particular is much more poised to have a really cool playlist effect, purely because the tracks can be designed to mix with one another in a much more seamless way than other genres can.
You know, Alec, somebody once told me this acronym for a rave, and I wanna repeat it back over here. All right. So RAVE stands for Radical Audio Visual Experience.
Oh.
And, like, that is such a great way to put it. You know what I mean? And you're absolutely right. Like, it's going to be such a fascinating time for these music streaming services to see just how they continue to one-up each other. And here's a question that I have for you. All right. In us just kind of talking about how Apple Music is really starting to host these DJ sets, these mixes, and then also making it very easy to find out who's song this is and making it very nicely formatted and cataloged, I'm wondering if this might one day become a SoundCloud or MixCloud killer as it comes to DJ sets.
I knew you were going down that road, and that's kind of the logical progression I see as well. Unfortunately, as much as I love like 1001 track lists, I think, you know, this is, I mean, that's always probably going to be there, but I think Spotify and Apple Music are moving towards hosting, you know, the live streams or the, you know, or at least recordings, official recordings of in-person events, and then also owning the space to create the playlist. And then from that, you can also just listen to the songs right there. Whereas 1001 Tracklist and other places will have to redirect you. And SoundCloud just doesn't really seem like it's built out that functionality yet. Maybe they will, but they've got to speed up. We haven't really talked about this, but we've always been quite big on the business side of things and how this is really cool. And there's going to be a lot of great moves from these big companies. But there is one downside to all of this, and it is the consolidation of music. And that is one thing I do worry about, is that everything is now being put behind a paywall. That's something that does concern me. I understand, and particularly in Apple's case, it seems like they are trying to benefit the artists as well by giving proceeds directly to them, which I think is great. And I think, unfortunately, man, one of the major, major downsides to this is going to be the consolidation of music. It's something that we have not really talked about, as I was just saying, but I think we really need to start thinking about is, would putting all of this behind a paywall benefit all parties involved? I can see it starting to benefit potentially, because Spotify has not done a great job of this, but maybe this will force them to do a better job of giving back to the artists. But how is this going to be for the consumer? How is this going to be for up and coming artists? There's a lot of different parties involved here, record labels, promoters, things like that. Would putting it behind a paywall kind of, does that start to create a walled garden effect over EDM where it becomes kind of separated and away from that feeling of openness and creativity and sharing? Because now this is putting a little bit more of a financial incentive behind it.
That's what I'm concerned about as well, to see these kind of exclusivity agreements between organizations and between these music streaming services like a Spotify or an Apple Music. Here's a prime example of this. And you guys know I'm a big Eric Prydz fan, but his Beats 1 radio show is really only available to Apple Music subscribers when it's live, which is a huge bummer for me. Like, I can't listen to it without paying for the subscription to Apple Music. Now we got Boiler Room and Apple Music having this sort of walled garden. But even if we were to take a step into Spotify and the agreements that they have from a podcasting standpoint, they have an exclusive agreement with the Joe Rogan podcast and some other podcasts. So I think it's only gonna be a matter of time where we start to see like this divide between what is on Spotify and what is on Apple Music. And while this may be very exciting for some folks, especially those who are, you know, owners of the record labels or for the artists, which is always great to see them get a bigger cut or a bigger payout, the consumers themselves on the other end might suffer through this, because now they have to potentially buy two streaming services, one with Spotify and one with Apple Music, in order to get the full catalog of the music that they enjoy.
The other aspect of consolidation that is worrisome as well is from the overarching industry side of that. And I'll explain what I mean here. You worry about consolidation from a consumer standpoint because you're like, okay, I have to go and pay to, you know, I have a few different choices, but I have to go and pay now. Like, that's what happens with consolidation. Whereas before, you might have been able to go to YouTube or SoundCloud and for free be able to listen and enjoy these sets. And it doesn't really matter if you have access to one platform or the other, you'd be able to find it elsewhere. So that, from the consumer standpoint, that's the worry with consolidation. From the industry standpoint, you're now seeing the consolidation of there only being two players now, or only being three players. I mean, we've seen this in countless other tech, you know, sectors now. I see it with advertising. You see it with so many other ones too, with device, with hardware, all this type of thing. So now we're seeing that in music. And that is something that does worry me more, is the fact that there's only two real, or three major players, like these big old gorillas that are going to be coming in and probably acquiring the smaller players or pushing them out, essentially, right? So really just cutting them out of this all. And I mean, this can go down a humongous rabbit hole. I mean, Apple can start acquiring record labels. I mean, they could really go down the consolidation path if they want to. I mean, we talked about it, but they've got so much free cash right now.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh yeah, so much free cash. I mean, they could easily buy up, promoters, buy up record labels if they really, really wanted to. And so that is my concern, is the consolidation in these areas. You know, it comes at a benefit, which is the fact that when you create these enclosed systems, you do allow each part of that system to talk to each other better. So you, for instance, here's the enclosed system. You watch a live stream for Eric Pritz, right? You can watch that only on Apple Music. Then on top of that, they have the exclusive rights to host the playlist. So then you have the playlist available there. On top of that, you don't have to go anywhere else, download anything else. You can just listen to all of the tracks individually within Apple Music.
Right.
What is that going to take you? Maybe two clicks, three clicks, something like that. Yep. The convenience factor is so nice for the consumer. It really is. But it does come at a cost, which is that it does drive out other options and other forms of creativity within the industry. And that's something that I do worry about, is the fact that it's just going to be these two players who are going to come in. And really, their goal was probably just going to be putting everything under one roof.
We are the consumers, and we're in the middle of this battleground between Apple Music versus Spotify, especially as it relates to EDM. And we got to keep an eye on it, man. We got to keep an eye on it. And if there's something that just doesn't look right, we got to make a little bit of an uproar about it. You know what I mean? Because I just don't want to see the consumers like you and I, and like the EDM champions, I just don't want to see us get burned by this.
All right, man. I'm glad that we got that out. I feel like there was a lot to dig in there.
A lot to unpack.
Lots of positives, but also some potential negatives. As with any innovation, I do want to say, I think it's great. I think it's just good that we're getting this type of innovation, right? There might be some expenses to it. However, we have to keep an eye on the positives as well. And I think focusing on the positives is really going to help us mitigate the negatives, because I think in general, we tend to focus a little bit on the negatives too much, whereas we should be focusing on the positives, but just within reason, right? We got to take it with a grain of salt. Now, moving forwards,
you're such a realist, dude. Like, you're such a realist. Oh my God. Can't get anything past this guy, I swear to God.
Oh God, I know, man. But before we dive into the what we're listening to section here, Samir, my pal, my friend, please introduce all of the new EDM champions, which, by the way, we see you. Thank you for joining us this week. What's going on? There's so many people from so many different places. I love it.
I just wish I could reach out
to everybody and talk to them and hear their story. But, you know, you can definitely reach out to us and we'll respond back. But Samir, please introduce all the new EDM champions to our rating scale for this section.
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever gonna listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not gonna really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is One Listen, level 2 is Background Noise, level 3 is Turn It Up, level 4 is Just Bought Tickets, and level 5 is Speechless. Let's get back to it.
All right, my friend, thank you for doing that.
I am ready. Are you ready to get into this, Alec? I hope you are
right.
too.
Let's go. I am. I want to start off with this one. Let's start off with Rez's revision, which I love, by the way. I think that's a great term. Rez's revision of Porter Robinson, She Heals Everything. Hear what I hear.
Get into this a little bit before we get into this, though. I do think, and I don't normally do this, but I do think it's fair that we should play the original of this track by Porter Robinson.
All right, let's do it.
EDM champions, take a listen to the original by Porter Robinson, She Heals Everything. So there you go. We just played the Rez revision, as she calls it, and we also just played the original by Porter Robinson. So first of all, I think it's just important to give a little bit of background to this, all right? So the original is by Porter Robinson. It's actually called Shepherdess / She Heals Everything. And so the song Shepherdess is actually off of the album Worlds, his debut album, but it is a vinyl exclusive. And so what Porter Robinson does for his live shows, especially for his world show, is that he creates all these live edits of all the songs off of his album. And one of the most sought after edits is this edit right here, the Shepherdess / She Heals Everything edit, which is just, it's gorgeous. Oh my God, it's just gorgeous. I've heard it 2 or 3 times live now, and I get goosebumps every single time I hear it.
It's a beautiful song. Beautiful
song. Gosh. It's amazing from beginning to end, man. And so Rez, you know, I love to see this, man. Rez came in here, she took the song, and she wanted to make it her own. But I'm going to say this right now, and I'm going to stick to my guns on this one. The original by Porter Robinson is 1,000 times better than what Rez cooked up over here. And so let me talk to you a little bit about this why, right?
Please do, because that's quite a statement.
It is a statement, and I get it. Like, this is an edit, and I understand that. Like, this is not a full-blown remix. This is most likely going to be used in, like, her DJ sets, her live sets, and I understand that, all right? However, even as an edit, this just does not feel like it's really all that different, except for the fact that it has, like, the signature Rez sort of, like, drum pattern in it, okay? So that's number one. Number two, where I think that the original really shines is the breaks. Those synths, those strings, all of that coming together is absolutely gorgeous. And I know, guys, I mean, this is obvious. Rez is like a darker, you know, darker bass, and she's really trying to trip you out. And I understand that. I do get that. But it really just feels like she didn't do anything to improve or to make the breaks her own. And I think that's where this track really falls short for me. I can get past the drop. I can get past the drop. But I really feel like she just butchered the breaks, and I'm really bummed out about that, man, because that's the best part of this original for me. And it doesn't really feel like she added anything substantial, but it feels like what she did add just really downplays how amazing those breaks are.
Wow, that is a hot take, my friend. Wow.
I'm feeling spicy over here. I had some fire Taco Bell sauce with my Taco Bell, so I'm feeling spicy.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah. It's not that hot, though. It's not that hot.
I know it's not. No, I mean, I'm not a fan of Taco Bell.
We can get into that later, too.
We really could. But, dude, I'm actually going to disagree with you a bit here. I think that you're being a little harsh on this. First of all, this was released on her Secret Tunes profile. Is it a profile? I think it's a profile.
Yeah, it's a
Secret Tunes profile on SoundCloud, which is just really for bootlegs and edits and things. So I think analyzing it from the perspective of like a real remix is a little bit harsh. I think she probably just dropped this because it's cool. People have asked for it if she's put it out in sets. So I think diving deep into it and doing a side-by-side comparison is a little bit unfair. Just from that perspective.
Yeah.
Second of all, I also think that she's always said that she's a producer and not a DJ. So the fact that she has made this to fit in with her sets, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. And actually, I feel also to the extent that's all of her music. I mean, it's always kind of been designed to be mixed with one another and is not really there to be mixed by other people. So if you want to come at it from that perspective, I think it's a little unfair to analyze it side by side with Porter Robinson's and also think about it as being an individual song that would be played outside of a res set. So I know we like to take things into isolation, right? We like to isolate songs. However, I think this is one of the rare exceptions where you can't, because this is purely designed to be part of one of her sets. It's like saying Kid's live edit of Doing It Right and comparing it to Daft Punk's original Doing It Right. Like, he has done that for a very specific reason, which is to open up some of his sets. And it's to be looked at from the perspective of within its set, not compared to the original. I do hear you on she didn't add too much, and I wouldn't disagree with you here, but I think it was enough. And I think this is more of her way of paying homage to Porter Robinson's song and not trying to do too much with it. You know, there's times where you cover a really, really good song and you sometimes feel that, not you personally, but an artist covers it, you sometimes feel like they probably shouldn't have and they tried to play around with it too much.
Sure.
For instance, Nora and Pure and Sons of Maria, right?
That was so bad.
That was so bad. Like, In the Air Tonight. That's my point, is I think she didn't want to go down that route with this, where it was like, okay, they were in between making it their own song and trying to pay homage to the original, and it just was a mess, right? I think she's done a really good job here of just saying, you know what, I'm not trying to make this even bigger from Porter Robinson. He's just nailed the breaks in the song, nailed every other aspect as well. I'm just going to go and do my own little spin on it and something that can fit in the middle of my sets that pays homage and makes people be like, oh, wow, I know that song from Porter Robinson. I think that's what the point of this song is.
I'm going to disagree with you. All right. I'm sorry. Because I know what you mean from the standpoint of like, this is an edit, not a remix. And I get that. So that's why, like, even with that in my mind, I'm not like expecting for this to just be completely enveloped within the res sound. But what I feel like she did, and like I said, I can excuse the drops, okay? I get it. Like, it does fit her time signature, and it would fit pretty nicely within her sets. But, like, I'm imagining myself at one of her sets at EDC, right? I'm imagining that I start to hear her edit of She Heals Everything during her set. And I just feel like those breaks are just falling so flat. Like, they have zero impact. I'm not expecting for it to sound just like Porter Robinson's breaks, because that wouldn't be fair to Rez, and I get that. But I just feel like what she even did with the breaks just falls incredibly, incredibly flat. And then even the drop itself is just sort of formulaic with her time signature, man. And one thing I gotta say, and I don't want to call shots on anybody, all right, but one thing I gotta say is that anytime Rez puts something out, it is immediately lauded and praised as like the best thing that has ever come out by all of her super fans. And look, Rez is a good producer, and she really did completely pioneer a whole new sound and a whole new genre, and I will never, ever say otherwise on that. However, not everything that she puts out is all that great, and in this particular example right here, this edit is nothing new, and it's really not all that great either.
That was a good one. I'm glad that we talked about it. If you want to go check out Definitely Champions, we want to hear your thoughts on this. Just tweet at us. It's at podbtb on Twitter. And then for Instagram, it's at btb.pod. Definitely comment on the stories that we'll be putting out about this week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, this one, I think we're going to have a little bit more agreement on, okay? I feel like we haven't talked about dubstep all too much recently in the what are we listening to section, but we decided this week to put in phase one. That's right. Someone who we've never really talked about too much in this podcast, but boy, oh boy, am I glad that we're going to be talking about this one, okay? This is the Deadline EP. Samir, which song do you want to play from this one?
Oh my gosh, I am such a big fan of this whole EP, this 4-track EP, also released on Disciple Records, so let's just make sure that we point that out. So shout out to Phase One, shout out to Disciple Records, that's a massive team up right there. Oh my gosh, all right, I'm going to have to go with Deadline on this one, all right? So okay. Everybody, take a listen to Phase One's track, Deadline, off of the Deadline EP. Deadline.
Dude, this one actually made me chuckle a bit on the drop. You know, in a good way when you laugh at just how ridiculous something is? Like, it's not laughing in a bad way. It's like, you know exactly what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely.
A drop is so stupid that you're just like laughing because you're like, how in the fuck, where the fuck did he pull that one out from? And this is a song that exactly does that. You know, we were talking earlier about originality and things like that. And I think this track, although not too dissimilar from his other tracks in the EP or just him in general, there's just an additional layer of creativity, you know, right before the drop, just the samples
Absolutely.
That goes on that just breaks up the regular rhythm, gets you, you know, your ears perk up and you're like, what is going on next? And he just drops that ridiculous dubstep on you. I thought this was really well done.
Dude, I'm really excited that you were digging some of these tracks off this EP. And I gotta ask you, man, because growing up, I was a big, big screamo guy and a big metal guy, especially in high school. So I'm very interested to get your thoughts on the tracks Hanging by a Thread and Another Breath. Both of those tracks incorporating more screamo-styled vocals. So those tracks really resonated with me. I think this is just a really fascinating time for dubstep, especially UK and American-based dubstep. And I love that we're seeing the culmination of dubstep and more of these like metal slash screamo vocals coming together, because I think it's a really fun blast to the past for millennials, but also at the same time, it's a new way to enjoy that sort of music. So those tracks really hit home for me. So how did you feel about those tracks?
So you think that Hanging by a Thread, which is one of the tracks that you're referring to here, which has the vocalist Micah Martin on it, you would classify that as screamo? I would almost sound like that was like a punkish type of vocal to it.
It was throwing me back to my screamo days in middle school and high school.
It was like, is that so? It's more screamo. Okay, because I would say so.
But like, you know, genres.
It just sounded a bit like kind of Green Day-esque type of vocals on it, like punkish rock type of vocals.
Sure. I mean, it's not like high pitched screaming, like, you know, from like some of my favorite bands back in the day, like A Day to Remember or, you know, whatever. I won't get into it, but but like, you know, it still had that feeling, like that sort of raw energy. But I can see what you mean by punk. Yeah, I get that.
It sounded almost, I don't want to say this necessarily derogatively, but I'll just say it. It sounded very American almost, you know, like I just wasn't too much about it. I didn't like that particular one. However, I did like the other one, Another Breath. I did like that one more.
Good song.
And I could definitely see the metal influence in there, but it was just something about the vocals in the prior one, Hanging by a Thread, that just didn't really grab me too much. I don't know. It just didn't sound entirely right to me.
For me, I just think this is a really exciting and like a very innovative time in bass music and in dubstep, you know, where we're seeing these sorts of vocalists from, you know, that sort of genre of rock, whether it be screamo or punk or alternative or whatever it may be, teaming up with dubstep artists like this. Like, dude, this is like the epitome of the hybridization of genres. Like, this is what it's all about, man. I am excited to get to rating these two tracks right here on the What Are We Listening To section. All right, Alec, crack your neck, crack your shoulders. It's loosey-goosey, baby. Okay, here we go. Alec.
Yes, sir.
Tossing this one over to you. All right. I want to know, what are your thoughts on Rez's revision of Porter Robinson's She Heals Everything?
For me, this is going to be a level 3 out of 5, just turn it up. It's not a ticket buyer, right? It's not a level 4. It's not also a background noise for me. This is something that if I did hear, yeah, I would turn it up. And I do think that it's catchy enough for me, as I said before, like any mid-tempo song could be. I just really like the rhythm to it. And I think it's a bland take. I do understand that. However, in of itself, I did enjoy it. Without considering the original, I wasn't even really thinking about comparing them, just because I knew that what Rez was going to do was really just take it darker, not touch it up too much, but just have kind of that more mid-tempo type of feel so that it would fit in with one of his sets.
All right.
I think I know what you're going to give it, and it's blasphemy.
What do you think I'm going to give this one?
I think you're going to give it a one listen.
No, I'm giving this a background noise.
Okay.
Giving this a background noise. Look, this song is not gonna like make me be like, oh, turn that shit off. You know what I mean? But like, it's just definitely not something I'm gonna seek out, dude. It's 100% something that I'm not gonna seek out. I'm talking about this song in a vacuum. All right, I'm giving this a background noise. If I was comparing this to the original by Porter Robinson, the rating would be different. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Okay.
Probably be negative.
But. in a vacuum, the Rez revision gets a background noise. I'm not inspired by this. I feel like she wasn't very inspired by it either while making the song.
What if she really thought this was like the best thing she's ever released?
She's like, she's gonna hear this and be like, those fucking assholes at Beyond the Beats.
Hey, I gave it a level 3. I'm all right in her book.
Fuck Samir, he's the worst. All right, here we go. Alec, for the Phase 1 Deadline EP, the 4-track EP released off of Disciple Records, what are your thoughts?
This was a level 3 out of 5 as well for me. Just turn it up. Definitely made me want to turn the mob up a bit. It's not my favorite of his releases or tracks, but there's enough in here that I'm like, okay, I'm definitely going to turn this one up. Get ready for some energy and get ready for some headbanging.
Dude, I'm pumped up on that. I really am, because I love Phase 1. I think this is just one of those guys who's really taking this dubstep scene and just turning it upside on its head. And that's why I got to give this a level 4 out of 5. Just bought tickets.
Wow.
This is showing some serious innovation to me. This is showing a side of Phase 1 that I never knew he had in him. And I love this, man. And I want to see more of the hybridization of punk, as Alec calls it, screamo, as I call it, with dubstep. And I want to see more tracks like this from Phase 1 and from some other artists as well.
Well, I'll say this. I'm going to heed your wisdom on the genre defining here for the vocals. So we can say it's screamo. I don't know as much about it. It's just, to me, as a very passive listener of screamo or anything metal, I don't know. I've never gone down that rabbit hole, actually, no. I've gone hard rock, but not down the rabbit hole of metal and things like that. But
I was an angry middle schooler. All right. I was an angry middle schooler. Because people kept on borrowing my pencils and not giving them back to me. What's going on with that? I'm still expecting like 10 pencils back in my pencil box.
Oh my Lord. Get it back to the man. Get it back to him. All right, man. Whew. It's been a long but good episode. We are finally here at the artist we're watching section. And Smith, who took it last week? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was me. Or maybe, wait.
I think I did.
I think you did. Yeah.
I did. Yeah. Okay. So why don't you lead us off this week with the artist that you want to put on everyone's radars?
All right. EDM champions. Oh my gosh. I mentioned this earlier on the podcast, but I'm having a great day right now. It's been a really long week of work, and my girlfriend and I dipped out early from work. We decided to go to the beach. We soaked up that vitamin D. I was wearing some sunscreen, of course. And I was in the ocean getting that salt water. Got some Taco Bell. And now I'm over here chopping it up with my dog, Alec Prieto. And I'm feeling those good vibes. And my artist that I'm watching is also reflecting those good vibes. This is some perfect beach time tunes. I want to introduce you guys to Nauda. Nauda. Guys. Oh my goodness. I am trying to focus more on these sort of chill vibes, especially for the summer, and I'm super pumped up to be showing you guys one of their releases from 2019. Massive single. This one's called Speak Up. Take a listen to this.
Good vibes only from my man Samir. I can tell you're feeling good. You're glowing, mate. You're glowing.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. It might be all these LED lights that I have on in my room right now.
That might have something to do with it.
Like a hue of purple. Thank you, dude. I appreciate
it. You're glowing aside from that. You're glowing.
I appreciate that, man. But you know what? I don't know what it is about the people of Norway, but they just seem like they're always in such a great fucking mood. And Nauta, the duo from Norway, they just exude those sorts of vibes, and I love to see it, man. And it's not even just that track on its own, Speak Up, but they also have an amazing EP called the Pilot EP, released in 2017. And what these guys really do is that they just bend between genres. They refuse to be siloed to one specific sound. We got some house in there with the song Speak Up, we got some lo-fi, we got some chill, we got some like chill future bass, like, you know, who cares about the names of genres? The thing is that these guys will switch up their vibes. And one thing is for certain, you're always going to get a very positive, very good, uplifting vibe from them. And that's something that I really appreciate, especially during these summertime times, and especially while we're going through this COVID-19 thing. Like, we got to get some more music that feels good to listen to, and that's what Nauta exudes. And you know what, man? I'm loving this. This is the kind of music that I'm trying to find more of to get onto the show, because I feel like sounds like this are just kind of underrepresented in EDM. And maybe that's more of like an American thing. And maybe we need to bring some of these European sounds to the US, to our EDM champions, because Nauta is a guaranteed good time.
Samir, I couldn't agree with you more. We definitely need some of that lighter vibe, good vibe music on. So thank you so much for introducing us all to Nauta. Just really good vibes in here. Love the lo-fi aspect, that chill house type of vibe. We definitely will get some more of this type of music on. Especially since we just are starting now to wrap up summertime. I think it's the perfect time for it.
Absolutely, man. Like, I don't know what it is, but the music that you listen to will really affect your mood, or at least for myself, and I know for a lot of people out there. And I'm really just trying to get this positive energy, get these positive vibes up. And like I said, man, Nauta exudes that to the T. And that's why I'm such a big fan of these guys.
Samir, thank you so much for putting Nauta on our radar. I tell you what, I'm gonna do my best to bring in some good vibes music.
Yeah.
Now definitely just expect that, EDM champions. Just watch out for it on the next episodes. But champions, okay, let me introduce you to a very big moment. This is the first time that this subgenre has ever, and I repeat ever, been featured on the Beyond the Beats podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. Welcome to the sounds of progressive psy trance, brought to you by Nickelodeon with a song, Devil in a Red Dress. Devil in a red dress, devil in a red dress, devil in a red dress, call 911, I'm a killer.
Dude, I cannot keep up with all these subgenres that we have in EDM right now. But you know what? Like, that is what makes this scene so exciting, is that there seems to be something new happening all the time. There seems to be some new sounds always coming from these underground artists. And I love to see it. And what I love to hear is this freaking progressive psytrance, man. Like, this is nice. You got, like, this kind of uplifting feeling to it, which you find in the progressive side and you also find in trance. But, like, psytrance is more about, like, those higher BPMs and that energy. So it's, like, this nice culmination of, like, higher BPMs, higher energy with some uplifting synths and some uplifting feelings. Great combination here. And this song is sweet. And the vocals amazing. I'm pumped up on this.
Oh, man. I'm glad, because I wasn't sure how you were going to feel about this, because I know you're not the biggest psytrance type of guy. You know,
yeah,
I wasn't
true.
Sure. Yeah. But I'm glad that you're all about it. I mean, there's just so much to unpack within this song. You can hear each element of the track working together, and it is very, very cleanly produced. First of all, the use of instrumental sounds in conjunction with those drum beats just works phenomenally. Just listen to it, champions, on some high fidelity headphones, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It just adds a touch of flair and depth to an otherwise relatively minimalistic drum pattern. And my friend, I do not mean that in a bad way. I kind of like how, very much like similar to house, right? Psytrance, when done right, can have this just encapsulating rhythm that just keeps you going. And he really plays on that here with this track. Lastly, I'm just a massive, massive fan of how the vocals are matched and overlay on the drop. I think it's amazing how he continues it out throughout the drop. It just really keeps it going, really packs a punch, and just gives it some flair. Just fantastic, fantastic release. Definitely would buy a ticket to see this guy. He's all the way over in Melbourne, Australia, so maybe when we go out and see Scribe and some other people like that, we can go stop by.
Another Aussie, man. I'm telling you, these Australians, they just don't know when to quit. These guys, and I love to see it, man. These guys are just at the forefront of bringing some fantastic, fantastic sounds. And chalk up Nickelodeon to that one, man. What an episode. What a journey. We talked about a lot of great stuff, man. We talked about how Apple Music and Spotify are using EDM as the next big battleground. We talked about how Wuhan, China, once the epicenter of the coronavirus, just threw a massive pool party. All these new releases, artists on the rise. This is what the Beyond the Beats podcast is all about, people. We're covering it all A to freaking Z. We're here for you guys because we love you and we appreciate all your input. We love that you guys keep coming back to us. And it is just always so inspiring to see our world map kind of light up in every single continent of our listeners, our EDM champions coming back. And we can't thank you guys enough. Thank you for allowing us to just chop it up and spit some bullshit into your ears every single week. You guys are the best, man. Keep smiling. Like, keep looking good. Whatever you're doing, it's working.
Dude, love the sentiment on that. Can only just say, we love you. Stay safe. Cannot wait for episode 72.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But before we get there, guys, make sure you take these next 7 days to just run your hands under some hot water, lather them up real good, wash them real clean, wear a mask, social distance, and above all, never forget that Black Lives Matter. We will see you guys next week for episode 72. Peace.